We're going to be today in John chapter 9. Well, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're in John chapter 9. We're going to read the first five verses of John chapter 9. And then we're going to go back to John chapter 5 and read verses 16 and 17 for our text this morning. I'll read the odd verses. You can join me on the even verses. That way I'll stay in accordance with all those things there. So here we go in John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now go over to John chapter 5, and we'll read verse 16 together, and I'll read verse 17. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So today's sermon is simply titled, His Work. Did you notice back in John chapter 9 that we see Jesus saying in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. All right, so Jesus was no slouch. He was going to do and accomplish the work that God the Father had sent for him to do. But did you notice to whom he attributed the work? Whose work was it? It was the Father's work. It was his work. It was God's work. And God sent his Son into the world to do a work. And can I tell you, folks, that today God likewise wants us to share in his work. But don't forget, it's his work. You know, I've loved over the years working with the kids. At Trinity Baptist Church in our Harvesters Soul Winning program. And that was a program with working with elementary age kids going door to door and spreading the gospel to people in the community. And I always love to see and to hear the kids say, they came back and said, I got somebody saved today. And of course I knew what they meant, and they didn't necessarily know what they were saying, and we would always be careful to tell them, Well, we don't save anybody. God does the saving, and we just get to tell them about Jesus. Because it's his work, folks. It's his work. And we get to share and take part in his work. Just like Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And we understand that it is God's work, and God has a work to do, and we get to share in that work. Now, take your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. This is a work of God that has been done that we don't get to share in. Amen? The world has been created. All right? It's done. We're not going to go into a laboratory and start making new things here. But can I tell you something? God has a work, and had a work, if you will, of creation. And there was someone that got to share in that work that God had done. Look at verse 27. We'll actually look at verse 26 in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let us... Okay, that's a reference to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I think I've got that one taken care of. And subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Can I tell you something? The work of God and the work of his creation was very good. It was very good. Don't you expect God's work to be done well? Yeah, I do. He's God, right? He's perfect. I expect perfection. Guess what? We had perfection. Yeah, we did. And then man kind of messed it up, didn't he? But listen to this. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. You understand, folks, that God took a day of rest. Isn't that nice? From his work that he had done. But it was his work. God did the work. He had the work of creation had been done. Everything was created. If you turn to the first page of your Bible, you see, and God created, and God created, and God created, and God created, and God said, and God called this, and God did that, and all of these things. God did the work of creation. It was his work to do. But if you go to John chapter 1, we see that there was a participant with God in that work. And you say, Brother Combs, you're kind of splitting hairs here. Well, I understand this. But listen, the Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ, was also a part of this work that God did in the creation. Look at John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5. John chapter 1 in verses 1 through 5. In the beginning. Let's see, I think I read that over here in Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning. In the beginning. Okay, that matches. Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now listen to this. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, can I tell you something? Again, God is not just that kind of boss that's going to sit up there and sit back and drink a glass of sweet tea while you go do all the work. Okay? Do you notice that God and the Father and God the Son worked together on this thing? They did. Because God, it was his work, and he had a helper in this work, and that helper was Jesus Christ. We understand that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, we're being introduced to Jesus Christ here in the Gospel of John. But can I tell you something? He was in the beginning with God. And he is God. You understand that Jesus Christ is God. And God created the heavens and the earth. We understand that the work of creation that God did was something special. He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. We understand that creation is important. Why is creation so important? We couldn't exist without it, folks. Don't forget that God made man and God made woman, right? In the image of God, we were created. And listen, in the beginning, it was a perfect scenario. It was wonderful. It was just how God had done it, and he's looked upon it, and it was very good. God's work was great. It was perfect. It was perfection. And he had provided for everything. Hey, I'm not here preaching a sermon on creation versus evolution today, but can I tell you something? This didn't happen by some big bang. Hey, and it didn't happen by accident either. Can I tell you something? From a scientific perspective, if you go through the order of the days that God used to create things, okay, it is in perfect logical progression. If one thing was out of order from the other, creation would not have been possible. Do you understand that? Let's say he decided to make the plants before he put the sun into place and all those things. It wouldn't work. Those things had to be the way they were. How he put the universe in order and the timing of it, and how all the cycle of a day and the evening and the morning and all those things, and how the land and the water and the plants and the animals. And listen, it all had to be created a certain way. Otherwise, things wouldn't be able to exist. And you notice he kind of made them. He saved the manager for last. Yeah, he put Adam in dominion over everything, right? He wasn't created until last. Yeah. And that's okay. Because everything was already in motion. God had put it all in motion. He said, hey, now, here, I put it in motion. You take care of it. I did the work. It's God's work. It was his work to do. And he put everything in motion for us to exist. You know, our existence is kind of important, isn't it? How many of you like your existence? Okay, good. All right, I'm glad. Listen, it's nice to exist. It's nice to be here. And that was God's work to put us in existence. We are his creation. We are made for him and by him. And you know what? God said that we are the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, go back to Genesis chapter 3. Everything was just wonderful. We had the garden. We had everything. We had man there. And in chapter 2, it says God planted the garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man out there, and he grew every tree pleasant for food, and there was the rivers and all those things, and God took man and put him in there to dress it and keep it, and everything's just wonderful. And man was given one rule to follow. How many of you would love to live life with just one rule? Just one. Hey, do what you want, eat what you want, go where you want, but just don't do this. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, that would be so, I mean, that would be fantastic. Just don't do this. And guess what they did? That. You know, it's funny, those of you that have children, don't touch that. What do they want to touch? That. Isn't that amazing? Okay. I mean, you raise up your children, just don't do this. What do they want to do? That. Human nature, folks. It's human nature. Well, God had the work of creation, and he did it, and it was very good. Can I tell you something else? God has a work, the work of redemption. The work of redemption. See, God put this creation in order, and it was perfect, and it was very good. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see this thing in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that when they eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and
that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You understand that we have right there the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Yeah? I'm telling you, folks, sin came in like a flood, and man gave in to the sin and the temptation of the devil, and man fell from perfection. Yeah. Because of sin and because of disobedience to God, we're no longer perfect. We're no longer perfect. And God could have said at that moment in time as he came to walk with man in the cool of the day, and he came down there and said, Adam, where art thou? Okay, God knew where he was. God knew what had been done. He knew what had taken place. And he could have just said, okay, let's crumple up this creation, throw it in the trash can, and start over again. Could he not have done that? Yes, he could have. But instead, he chose the work of redemption. God chose to redeem the creation that he had made. And listen, is that a work? Is that an effort? Does that take effort? Yes, it did. It took a lot of effort, took a lot of planning, took a lot of preparation, and it took the death of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to get the work accomplished. But it's his work. You know what? You and I cannot redeem ourselves. Yeah. The blood of bulls and the blood of goats. Listen, we can't do it. We needed the blood of the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God to pay for our sin. And listen, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. God's work of redemption was put into place in Genesis 3:15 when he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. While you're turning there, remember what it says about the light. Jesus Christ being the light. He said that light was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see, folks, God sent his son. God gave the gift of eternal life to us through his son, Jesus Christ. It is his work of redemption. God cares about us. He created us. Listen, how many of you have ever built something? How many of you have ever made or attempted to build something? Okay. How many of you have ever tried? Yes. And guess what? You're going to build it, and you're probably, because of the time and the effort and the money that you put into it, you're probably going to care for it. Because it's your creation. You understand? Hey, listen. You're going to do what it takes to preserve it, aren't you? You're going to do what it takes to take care of it, aren't you? Well, why? Because it's your creation. His work of creation was done. He rested of it. It was very good. And he's now going to care for it by redeeming it back to himself. Hey, listen. God wishes that all that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. God doesn't want anyone to be condemned and continue to be condemned, because we're condemned already. But he wants us rather to turn from that condemnation and trust Jesus Christ and become saved. He's provided the work. He's done it. God did the work of redemption for us. All we have to do is accept it. All we have to do. It's his work. And he has done it. And can I say something? It's very good. Oh, it's very good. Just like the creation was very good, God's work of redemption is very good. Hey, it's better than ours. What can you do to redeem yourself? Nothing. You can't. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. Hey, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, listen, folks. You go through life and you tell one lie, you're bound for hell. One. You know how hard it is to repeat perfection? Okay, let me say, infinitely impossible. Yes. It's impossible. We cannot be perfect. But Jesus was. And he was the only one fit to die and provide for us, if that big fancy word is propitiation, for our sin. He's our replacement. He's our substitute. He's the one that took our place on the cross. His work of redemption was very good. In John chapter 4, verses 32 to 42, it says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Whose work is it? Very good. She's listening today. That's fantastic. I love that. Hey, listen. Yeah, to finish his work. It's God's work of redemption, not ours. Just like it was God's work of creation and not ours. And both are very good. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are ripe already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit thereof unto life eternal. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, and they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And he said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. It's his work. And you know what? I've told you before, this story of the woman at the well, it's a great story. It's a wonderful story. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria because there was a work to be done. The Father's work that he was going to take part in and accomplish. And guess what? I really believe with all my being that he wanted his disciples to take part in it too. I do. And he sent them into town. They went into town to buy food. They could have talked to all those people and done the work of the Father there in that town. But they did not. They could have talked to the woman as she came out to the well while Jesus was there alone. I guarantee you they passed by. Yeah. And as they were coming back, she was going back into town. Why didn't they stop her then? They had 2 chances. And I believe as he talks to them and says, hey, folks, lift up your eyes. The field is white already unto harvest. I think that was a rebuke. That they didn't take part in the work of redemption that he had allowed them to take part in. Hey, folks, listen. God allows us to take part in the work of redemption. We know that Luke 19, that Jesus was allowed to take part in it. He says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. This is God's work, folks. His work of creation. His work of redemption. And although we cannot participate in the work of creation that's already done, we can participate in the work of redemption that God has done for us. You see, how can I participate? We can spread the word. We can work in the fields. Listen, God's provided the harvest. All we got to do is help bring it in. God, it's His work. And He's going to work with us. Are you there in John chapter 6? Look at verse 26. And Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Then said they said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Hey, folks, we can share in this work. God says, well, we can do the works of God. What are these works of God? "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Listen, we have an opportunity to share in his work of redemption. First of all, by being redeemed ourselves by trusting Jesus Christ, and then sharing it with others. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." In Matthew 28, we understand that the Great Commission is given. That we're supposed to go into all the world in Mark 16, 15 and preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew 28, 18 and 20, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." You understand that God, it's His work of redemption that He allows us to share in. We have an opportunity to go out and to share with others the gospel. In Hebrews 12, 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Hey, He finished it. Hey, remember this? "And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, It is finished." Yeah. "And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost." You know, His work of redemption, it was done. We just get to share in the harvest of it. We get to share in the harvest of His work. Remember what He said to the disciples, that I sent you to reap whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Hey, folks, don't you want to enter into the labors of God? It's His work. His work of redemption. Hey, aren't you glad you don't have to go to the cross and die for somebody else? Yeah, He already did that. It's done. You just get to share that witness with others. We have the opportunity to work with Him in His labors. You understand that this work was finished and completed. Remember in Matthew 27, it gives us a little more insight into this work of redemption that was done by the Lord Jesus Christ, authored by God the Father. It says, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God." Amazing. Amazing. And we get to enter into that labor with him. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, he says, "Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And folks, the work of redemption has been done. It's been completed. God has done his work just like he did the work of creation, and it was very good. He has done the work of redemption. It is very good. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Were those not his words? Oh, it's a very good work. And the work was accomplished, and we get to enter in to his labors with him. Well, to what end then? We understand that God's work of creation has been done. God's work of redemption has been completed, and we get to share in spreading the gospel to every creature so that others can be saved. What about this? Another work that God is currently doing. You see, I mean, you mean God the Father, he's just sitting there with nothing else to do? He took care of creation. He took care of redemption. So God's done, right? He's just sitting up there. La, 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 la. Let's see, when's Jesus coming back? Oh, yeah, I got a few more minutes. Da, 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 da. Right? Yeah. No. She is very active this morning. That is fantastic. I wish all of our church folks were like four-year-olds. Amen. There, that got a rise out of some of you. Some of you woke up this morning. Amen. Okay, good. Philippians chapter 1. Turn over there with me. Here's another thing that God is currently doing. Not only his work of creation, his work of redemption, but what about the current work? The work of sanctification. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verses 3 through 6. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Hey, what work is he currently doing? Sanctification of the saints. Listen, how many of you are perfect? Anybody out there? Okay, I didn't think so. All right? How many of you need God to continually work in and through you? Yeah, that's the work he's doing right now. And we get to work with God on this account as well. "But be confident that he which hath begun a good work in you..." Who began the work of salvation in you? God did. And who's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? God is. God is. It's the work he is currently doing. In Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." It's a work that he's continuing to do. It's a work that he's doing in us and through us. Hey, how does he accomplish that? You remember that third guy? Yeah, that comforter that Jesus sent after he went away? Yes, he's the one doing that work in us. He's working in us and through us, the Holy Spirit of God, trying to sanctify us and fill us and make us usable to God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, you know these, right? "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Why? "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, in which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Yeah. Hey, remember 1 John 1:9, for us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Does that just happen once? Oh, this is a fellowship thing. When we come to him, he cleanses us. When we come to him, he cleanses us. Hey, remember this? Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we are the work of thy hand. Remember this? Jeremiah 18, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Hey, aren't you glad that God's the one keeping you saved and not you? He's the one performing this work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. It's his work, folks. And we get to participate in the work of sanctification. Oh, listen, I understand that clay is an inanimate object, but let's put it in the sense, the spiritual sense, that we are to make ourselves moldable to the potter. We are to yield ourselves to be formed into whatever vessel that God wants us to be yielded. Right? Yeah. It's his work. He's the potter. He's the one with the hands on. And he's got his hands on the clay and he's trying to form it into a vase. And the clay says, no, I want to be a plate. And it resists the hand of the potter. Why don't we work with him and become the vase that he wants us to be? Or the bowl, or the vessel, whatever vessel it is. We understand in 2 Timothy, the Bible says this, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Hey, we get to share in this work of sanctification. We get to do something about it. We can either yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness unto God, or we can yield ourselves to the flesh and be instruments to thereof. What do you want to be? Do you want to be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor? You say, why would anybody want to choose to be a vessel of dishonor? Well, I don't know. It says here, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they that do gender strifes, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You understand that we have a part in this thing of sanctification. Oh, it's God's work. He's going to mold us and shape us into a vessel of honor. But we've got to do our part likewise. You see, this is his work. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, according as his divine power have given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Folks, we're partakers of the divine nature. We have an opportunity to participate in this thing of sanctification. But guess who gets to choose whether or not we are a sanctified vessel? Me. Me. Hey, who is it that chooses to sin in my life? It's y'all. It's your fault. The devil made me do it. Really? Did the devil make Eve make that choice? No. What's the only thing that he really did? Question God. She chose. She chose. Just like you choose. And I choose. Not to be sanctified unto God. You understand? In 1 Corinthians it says, for we are laborers together with God. For ye are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build, who's building upon this? That's us. Foundation, gold or silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Remember how he talked about the creation. His work of creation was very good. And man messed it up. Oh, his work of redemption is very good. And it is solid. But guess what? Man messes it up, don't they? Yeah, these people that preach another Jesus. False prophets, false teachers. Yeah, they're trying to deceive the nations. And take people aside. And so that they do not end up trusting Christ and going to heaven, but rather remain condemned already to hell. And this thing of sanctification, listen, God's got it all worked out. He wants you to live right, do right, be the vessel unto honor. Who gets to mess it up? We do. But we shouldn't. We shouldn't. These are the good works that we should walk in them. Hey, God's work of sanctification is also very good. Very good. Everything that God does is good. It's good. And we get to participate in his work. One more verse for you. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know this verse. Verse 17. We're not going to end there. We're just going to start there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them,
and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Folks, God wants us to live a righteous life. God wants us to be a sanctified vessel fit for the Master's use. But we have to submit ourselves to him. We have to yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We need to choose to live a sanctified life. It's our choice. Just like salvation is a choice, living a Christian life is a choice. We must choose to take part in his work. Do not forget that we are laborers together with God. Do not forget what our text said about Jesus saying that he is here to work the work of him that sent him. And he is to finish his work. And remember what Jesus said. He said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. We're not in this alone, folks. It's his work. And we get to participate in it. Isn't that good? I keep saying that. I'm going to say it all the days of my life. We get to participate in it. We get to. Or have to. We get to. Just like we get to be saved. And we get to be redeemed. And we get to live a sanctified, holy, pure, righteous life. We get to, we get to, we get to. You know what? I want my kids growing up saying we get to work, not we have to work. You know, work is not a dirty four-letter cuss word. Yeah, it's not. It's a good word. God works. God's Son works. Oh, God the Holy Spirit works. Why can't God's people work too? We're here to work. Work the work that, of him that sent us. We're here to do the work. And remember what he says. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Folks, it's his work. But we get to participate in it.